This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Kim Grenolds of Dogman.com with Chris Vetter, Scott Eklund. It is Tuesday afternoon after a wild, wild, wild weekend and a wild Monday with offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb interviewing down at Alabama. It's been a little crazy. So we've been kind of scheduling, canceling, rescheduling, doing a podcast. We were waiting to hear from Ryan Grubb this afternoon. He was supposed to be on KJR at 3, but it looks as though he may have been trying to push that off, and KJR is trying to make it happen again. So we will see if Ryan Grubb actually does go on the radio and address the Alabama situation. So I don't know. I kind of get the feeling we may not hear from Ryan Grubb in a while. Is that kind of your take, Chris and Scott? We may not be able to talk to him until spring football.
Well, let's be clear, though. He's not pulling. He's not going on KJR because there's something going on with him. It's just a conflict with a team meeting. There's nothing nefarious going on and Grubb trying to push off or change the timing of his interview with KJR. It just happened to be a time conflict that I don't think he necessarily knew about before it happened. So nothing strange going on there. He's still going to be at Washington.
I don't know. I'm not buying it.
Okay, well then give us your take.
My gut is somebody told him, yeah, just keep it on the down low. There's been enough out there, nothing to be gained from you to be going on the air and talking about it. So
okay, that's kind of my take. Okay, but not him canceling because he's thinking about going somewhere else.
Well, no.
Okay. Well, that's the main point.
The meeting he supposedly has isn't to tell the team he's going to Georgia or Alabama. If that's what you're
inferring. I suspect it would be to explain why he did what he did.
Maybe. A lot of speculation out there.
Considering that there's a lot of feeling out there that one of the main reasons Grubb decided to stay at Washington instead of taking the offensive coordinator job at Alabama is because all these other offensive players like Michael Penix Jr., like Jalen McMillan, Rome Odunze, Troy Fautanu, they all decided to come back. And there's this idea that he felt beholden to them to do the same thing.
I'm sure there's some of that in there. I'm sure there's some of that in there, but you know, we don't know how the interview went and I don't know for 100%. I haven't talked to anybody who's 100% certain that he actually was offered the job, you know, and Scott, you've been around long enough to know that, you know, when guys remove their name from consideration for a job, it more often than not means that they didn't get the job. I'm not saying that's the case, but you know, what's your take on that?
I don't know. You're asking me something that I haven't honestly thought that much about. I mean, I think he took his name out of the running because he felt this was the best place for him. I don't know what else to say on that stuff because I just don't know. You know, we've heard that he turned it down, but we don't know. So I don't know. I just don't know, Kim.
Yeah, and what's interesting too is, you know, the Washington program kind of went through this with Jimmy Lake last couple of years that he was the coordinator. He was flirting with schools every offseason. He was getting pay bumps. He got promoted to defensive coordinator. And when you look at Ryan Grubb, he got the bump at the end of last football season, and then he flirted with Texas A&M. He got another bump. And then what you were talking about, Chris, is, you know, all the guys that are eligible for the NFL draft saying that they're coming back. And then the window closed for entering the NFL draft. And after two pay raises, two bumps and flirting with other programs, he went down and interviewed with Alabama, which I think maybe put a bad taste in some people's mouth.
Well, I think two things can be true at the same time. I think it could have put a bad taste in their mouths. And I think you also, when Nick Saban calls, you listen. And he clearly didn't have – he couldn't control the timing of when Alabama might want to call him and inquire as to his availability. So, yeah, I think all those things can be true. And I think it also could be true that, you know, he may not have been offered. I think that's an easy way to get out of it, especially if you're looking at it from the Alabama perspective. But I could just as easily see him – you know, being in a situation where Nick Saban's like, we don't bring a guy like you all the way down from Seattle unless we're that serious and we're going to offer you the job. Now, it's been reported from the Alabama side that Saban was going to interview a number of candidates and probably interviewed other candidates on Monday besides Grubb.
The same day, yeah.
Yeah, so there could have been a number of names in play here. We don't necessarily know the actual dynamic of all that stuff. The only thing we know for sure is that Grubb went down there, talked to all those guys, checked it all out, and then came back and made the decision to stay. That's the only thing we know. We don't know any more real details other than that.
Yeah, and Scott, the other interesting aspect, you know, there's a lot of pieces that go in to make a puzzle, but in this day of name, image, and likeness, branding has become an important, you know, piece of the puzzle for not only athletes, but coaches as well. And Ryan Grubb is with CAA. They're one of the biggest, you know, talent agencies out there. And there's some speculation as well as, you know, the agents driving this and the agents pushing for this interview in order to enhance the brand of a Ryan Grubb who has expressed an interest, says he wants to be a head coach someday. Does this up his stock at all, interviewing and supposedly turning down Nick Saban?
I don't think it hurts. I don't know how much that's going to play into it that Nick Saban wanted him, but and when he goes to get hired for head coaching gigs, but I don't think it's a bad thing for him either. I mean, look at the lineage of coaches that have come out of Alabama or just under Saban, you know, as coordinators. You've got guys all over the country that have coached under Saban and are head coaches now, some of them very successful. One of them's a head coach in New York with the New York Giants, Brian Daboll. He was his offensive coordinator, I think, whatever he was. You know, he's done a lot of good. He's promoted a lot of guys, you know, several of his guys have won national championships. So, like, I agree with Chris. Nick Saban calls you, at the very least, you take the call, you listen to him, you see what he has to say. And I always harken back to that Moneyball at the very end when, you know, Brad Pitt is meeting with the owner of the Boston Red Sox. He goes, you're really happy in Oakland. You've done so much there. Why are you here? And he goes, because it's the Red Sox. Yeah. You know, it's Alabama. The number one program in the country, arguably. And
hey, Chris,
I think you just have to take that call.
Did Jimmy Lake turn Nick Saban down?
I believe he did. That's at least what we understand to be true.
And used it for leverage?
Being a defensive coordinator, he turned a lot of people down for him to stay at Washington. And that's why he ended up being the main play caller. And that's why Pete Kwiatkowski gave him the reins, so to speak, in his final years coordinator and play caller. And took a little bit of a smaller role because they understood at the time, that staff and Chris Peterson knew that Lake's star was on the rise and they had to give him some leeway and give him some upward momentum so that he could take the next step forward. What we didn't realize a year later was that Peterson was going to leave and then Lake would end up being the head coach at Washington. We just assumed maybe Lake would end up being a head coach somewhere, maybe at the Mountain West level or somewhere in a different league. Maybe jump and maybe finally take that coordinator job at a place like Alabama down the road. Now, so we don't know what's going to happen with Grubb, but there are certain comparisons that are certainly valid.
Well, Jimmy Lake used it and he leveraged it for another pay raise. Ryan Grubb's already had two pay raises this year. Do you think there's another one in the works for Ryan Grubb?
No, there's no pay raise after this one.
No way.
I mean, let's put it this way, Kim. I don't know if people understand this. Do you know how much Bill O'Brien, Alabama's last offensive coordinator, you know how much he made in 2022?
I think it was 1-1 or 1-2.
Yes, $1.1 million. Ryan Grubb's already in line at Washington to make $2 million in 2023.
And what was
this
the buyout?
This was not about
$2 million.
If he'd left, what was the buyout?
$2
million. $2 million. It's a year's salary. This was not about money, in my opinion. Now, you can say it's always about money. This is if we're going to talk about this in terms of money, this was about earning potential down the road as a head coach, because this was all about forward momentum for Ryan Grubb. This was all about jumping to a position where, if you look at the Steve Sarkisians, the Lane Kiffins, the, like Scott said, the Brian Daboles, those types of guys, those are all guys that ended up jumping way, way over their pay grade after they spent time with Nick Saban and was his offensive coordinator. And there's no reason to think that Ryan Grubb wouldn't have been on that exact same trajectory.
Well, I think it's also interesting, you know, last year, Ron McKeefry signed a deal with Washington, and then Nick Saban came calling again. Ron McKeefry, the strength and conditioning coach at Washington, and Nick Saban came after Ron McKeefry, which caused Washington to give Ron McKeefry another bump. What's Ron, Chris, you did it. I don't know if you know off the top of your head. What are they paying their strength and conditioning coach right now?
At Washington?
Isn't it seven?
Yeah, he's making, I think, 600 right now. 600 last year, 600 this year. And that might get bumped again. And he's got the same incentives that the other assistants do, like in terms of, you know, APR bonuses, championship bonuses, whether that's Pac-12 championship or you know, national championships. So he's got all the same things that all the other assistants would have.
Yeah, I know, talking to Kirk McNair, and Chris, I don't know if you had a chance to meet Kirk McNair, but he's been following Alabama football. Yeah. I mean, Kirk's a good old boy. He's been doing this since Bear Bryant. And, you know, talking to Kirk, and, you know, he's out in his deck overlooking the lake, smoking a cigar, drinking a bourbon. And he's going, "Didn't we try to take your strength and conditioning coach last year? Because ours still sucks." So it was interesting talking to Kirk. So it'd be interesting to see if they circle around back with Ron McKeefry. But Scott, if, you know, Ryan Grubb had gone to Alabama as the offensive coordinator, you don't go there and inherit the staff. You hire some people you're familiar with. You know, what are the chances he would have taken a couple guys off the Washington staff with him?
I don't know. I don't know what their position situation is down there. What their position coach situation is down there. I mean, I think he would have at least talked to some guys, but, you know, some of those guys would have been in line for possible promotions here at the University of Washington. So I doubt you would have seen anyone leave.
Yeah, I liked this stuff out on Twitter yesterday, and everybody was thinking about it. You know, Ryan Grubb to Georgia with Penix, Odunze, and McMillan following him. Jim Harbaugh to the Broncos, and Kalen DeBoer going back to Michigan. That was a good one, by the way.
Yeah, was it really Georgia they were saying?
Or was Monken just interviewed with Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
And so he could have had his, people could have been talking about having his choice between Alabama or Georgia.
Yeah. And by the way, Denver Broncos hired Sean Payton. So Jim Harbaugh is not going he's not going to the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, he interviewed with them for a second time.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, so Jim, one thing I'd add about this coaching carousel thing that we're talking about, and the idea of a program like Alabama trying to take away a guy like Ryan Grubb or Ron McKeefery or a Jimmy Lake in the past, this may give heart palpitations to Washington fans, and I apologize in advance. It's not my intent, but I think people need to come to the realization that Washington is getting back into the big leagues, guys. And this is what happens when you have top coaches. There's other programs out there. They're going to try to pilfer them. They're going to try to snag them. And there's going to be a lot of tapping up with agents. You know, you already mentioned CAA, Kim. There's all these other entities going on behind the scenes that are trying to work this power dynamic. And Washington is starting to get back into that mix. This should be taken as a positive sign, because if those guys get taken, there are lots of other guys from other places in the country that want to be a part of this, because they can see that Washington stepping stone is the wrong term. It's not a stepping stone, but it's a place where you can move. It's a place where you can achieve objectives. And that's a really important thing to understand right now.
Well, what's interesting too, Chris, is I told you this a couple months ago when we were at a basketball game, and Kalen DeBoer's been at quite a few basketball games, and you know, I kind of caught him back in the back, and you know, he mentioned, you know, hey, right now I'm trying to hang on to my coaches. He said this a couple months ago, so I kind of get the feeling that Ryan Grubb wasn't the only one who had offers out there, because I'm guessing that, you know, Jamarcus Shepard's pretty highly thought of, as, you know, also know that Scott Huff was in the running for some stuff as well. You know, guys were coming after Scott Huff. So don't think that Ryan Grubb was the only one that schools were coming after, because they were coming after more than that.
Well, yeah, you mentioned, Kim, the idea of if Grubb had gone to Washington, would he have taken other coaches with him? There's the other part of it to suggest that if Grubb left for Alabama, would it be one of those things where, you know, again, Washington fans have already seen this when Peterson, you know, when he stepped down, Lake immediately just kind of filled that vacuum. Would this be a situation where, you know, does Nick Sheridan immediately just fill that vacuum? Because he was Michael Penix's offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach at Indiana after DeBoer. Would it be a Jamarcus Shepard, who's been an offensive coordinator? Would it be Scott Huff, who's been a co-offensive coordinator? Would it have been a combination of those guys? Because Sheridan's the only one that's actually coached quarterbacks. So he would have to be a part of that equation. Or would DeBoer have had to look outside, find other guys from his tree, or go, like in the case of Shepard, completely outside his tree? A lot of different options going on there, but now, you know, this is a discussion we don't have to wait for, yep, for probably at least another year.
Well, the other thing, Scott, is I've asked numerous people, and I don't get a consensus on this question. The offense at Washington ran this year, and the offense that was run at Fresno State, is that Kalen DeBoer's offense, or is that Ryan Grubb's offense? Because I got guys that are adamant it's Ryan Grubb's, and I got guys adamant it's Kalen DeBoer's. What's your thought on that?
Well, I know exactly what it was. The bones and the architecture of the offense is Kalen DeBoer's, but Ryan Grubb has made it his own because he's the play caller. He's the one who has designed plays. He's the one who's making adjustments and designing different things. So it's a mixture, but I would say it's more Kalen DeBoer's offense with Ryan Grubb's personality behind it.
Think about it this way, guys. Kalen DeBoer's the architect, but Ryan Grubb's the interior designer, right? So he's the one that actually puts the look around it.
The finishes.
Again, yes, but yeah, he does the finishing touches, and he's the one that makes it look how it looks. But if you look at it from the outside with the 10,000-mile view from above, you're going to look at that house and go, yeah, that's Kalen DeBoer's house. So that's how I look at it, at least.
Yeah, and going down, you know, that road that we didn't have to go to, Fetters, you were putting together an offensive coordinator hot list. You put some time into it. Yeah,
it's still there. It's still hanging out. I hope I remember it in a year.
Was it my suggestion too, Chris? I'm sorry.
Trust me, I didn't go as deep in it last night as I could have. Thankfully, my eyes were starting to droop a little bit, so I decided to hang it up. But yeah.
But you're saving it for next year. Who you got on it? Come on.
Well, it's obviously I already kind of alluded to a little bit of it earlier when I talked about there's a mix of Nick Sheridan, Scott Huff, Jamarcus Shepard. I think probably two of those three guys, if not all three of them. Now, and let's be real clear, too. All the offensive guys have a handle or a part to play in not only creating the scheme itself and the offense that they run, but also the game planning. You know, who's going to get the ball, what plays are working best, all those types of things really go to all the offensive coaches. But if right now, if you put DeBoer in me and I'm looking at it from DeBoer's perspective, I'm thinking probably a combination of Sheridan with either Shepard or Huff. And I would think maybe Huff right now, because Huff is an offensive line guy, just like Grubb was. So there's maybe some touchstones there that people can use to use as a basis for comparison. I think you've got those guys going on. Obviously, I put Kirby Moore in there, and yes, I understand he just left Fresno State to go to Missouri, but he is a guy with vast knowledge of this offense, and he's been at Missouri basically a month now, if not just a little less than a month. We've seen situations where guys have gone to a place for a week or two or a couple weeks and then taken off. So that could have happened.
And the reason Kirby Moore is on that list is because he was with this coaching staff down at Fresno State. He was there under DeBoer for a couple of years.
Correct. Yeah. So there was that stuff going on. Even looking at a guy, God, I can't remember his name right now, but he's the offensive coordinator, Georgia Southern. And he actually was the offensive coordinator. And actually, I don't know if he was the offensive coordinator, but he coached at USC under Clay Helton. And that's why he's at Georgia Southern now. But he also coached with Jamarcus Shepherd at Western Kentucky. So there's, I think his last name's Ellis. And so, you know, there, I just had those guys in there. You know, you could look at, I was looking at a guy like Joe Moorhead, who actually was the offensive coordinator at Oregon for a little bit, for a couple of years. But that's a guy that if you look at what's going on with Deion Sanders and Colorado guys, who did he get for his offensive coordinator? He got Sean Lewis from Kent State, the head coach.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't another MAC head coach maybe make a move to make maybe three or four times as much money? Because right now, I think Moorhead, if I looked up the salary numbers, I think he's making like 200 to 250. I mean, he could quadruple his money in a heartbeat.
Or the other. And
now, I know he's making a lot because he got a big settlement when he got fired at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So there's that to factor into it. But he understands the West Coast. He understands the Pac-12. He was at Oregon. He was at Penn State. Big offensive mind. Runs a multitude of different offenses. He's a very experienced coach. And he's been a head coach, too, which I thought was valuable. So hey, just looking at guys like that, too.
Hey, Scott, just to make somebody, you know, a few heads explode out there, the quarterback coach from the Dallas Cowboys, who I don't know the status of, but working under Kellen Moore. Remember, you know who the quarterback coach is for the Dallas Cowboys?
No.
Doug Nussmeier. Nussmeier.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, Doug Nussmeier is not coming back here.
Who, ironically, was the last Washington offensive coordinator to get poached by Alabama. So it's actually happened before.
Yeah, where's Nussmeier's kid, by the way? Didn't he transfer?
Yeah, he was at LSU, and now he's somewhere else, I think. I can't remember. Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah.
Where he went to, though.
I don't remember, but like I said, you know, that'll make some people's heads explode if you mention that name. So anyways, signing day is tomorrow, Wednesday. It's always the first Wednesday in February. But when we're going to take a quick word from our sponsors and we return, we'll go over what to expect on signing day for tomorrow. It's the guys from Dogman.com on Dogman Radio.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
We're back. It's the guys from Dogman.com. I'm Kim Grenolds, along with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund. Signing day 2023. Washington signed most of their guys in the early signing period, which is pretty common. But Scott, give people an idea of what to expect tomorrow on signing day.
Well, tomorrow, Chris and I, well, at least I can't really speak for Chris, but Chris and I should be on early, probably about 7 o'clock in the morning. And we'll just kind of go through things. We're expecting at least one guy to sign tomorrow, and that'll be we think that Tayshaun Lyons will end up signing his letter of intent to the University of Washington. And then at 1:45, Austin Mack, 2024 quarterback from Folsom High School, same high school as Jake Browning. He's going to make his announcement on the 247 YouTube channel. And we believe that it's going to be good news for Husky fans. So keep an eye out for that. But other than that, we're just going to be keeping track of all the stuff that goes on across the country. Oregon's trying to close strong. It sounds like they might be piddling out a little bit. It sounds like some guys that they were in really good shape for are starting to see crystal balls go to other schools. So we'll have to wait and see. USC, I think, has a couple guys, UCLA. You know, Colorado is going to try and sign a number of guys. So we'll just have to see there. And then we're also going to rehash all the guys who signed with Washington back in December. So all of those signing day profiles will be back up for you guys to take a look at. The people, we've had so many people sign up here over the past couple weeks as new subscribers. And those are people who probably haven't seen those yet. So we're going to post those for people to look at and read and maybe get a few updates on those as well. So should be a fun day tomorrow, even though it'll be a little bit less eventful than a lot of people like it to be.
Scott, I got to tell you, I really liked your description of what was going on down at Oregon. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Yep, they are. They're petering out.
Oh, I thought you said piddling.
I did. I actually meant petering, but I said piddling. So I don't know. Anyway.
It reminds me of puddles.
Yeah.
Hey, Tayshaun Lyons, I've heard he's already signed, you know, so what's the delay on that whole thing?
He's got a group of friends that he wants to sign with. Somebody posted on our board that it's going to be on February 3rd, actually. So I don't know if that's the case or not, but so we'll just kind of keep monitoring that and keep an eye on that. But we're pretty sure that Washington will get good news tomorrow on Tayshaun Lyons. He's a wide receiver out of Tennyson High School in Hayward, California. That's in Northern California. Is that the Bay Area?
Hayward? Yeah, it's East Bay.
East Bay area. 6'2" and a half, 165 pounds, so he's not very big. Has some explosion, not the deep threat that a lot of people want a guy to be. He runs about a 4.6, 4.65, 40, but great hands, really good route runner. The coaches offered him pretty early in the process and ended up getting a commitment from him back in mid-December. About on the 16th, it looks like, but he decided that he didn't want to sign then. He wanted to sign with all of his friends on signing day. So that's the reason for the delay.
Absolute stunner, fall out of your chair if he does anything but announce Washington tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. He's coming to Washington.
Yeah.
Let's be clear though. You know, Scott just noted that he thinks that the signing day celebration for Lyons and his teammates is going to be on Friday.
Yeah, so.
So there may not be anything that comes out tomorrow. Possibility. Yeah. Now, for me personally, I think it gets announced regardless of when he decides to do his little signing thing, because whatever he's signing is already been signed.
Yeah. Also, you had a chance to talk to the running back from Mississippi State, the transfer into Washington, Dylan Johnson. You actually talked to him. What fill people in on why there was a little bit of drama around him and what's going on.
So I talked to him on Thursday and he had said, I'm still loving Washington. I don't know why people think I'm going somewhere else. And I said, well, because the Mississippi site said you're flipping to them. And he goes, I'm not even talking to them. What's going on? And I'm like, that's just the rumors. And he goes, OK. So then he said, Washington's in tomorrow. I'm still locked in with Washington. And then I called him Saturday and he said, hey, man, I'm all locked in for Washington and everything. Sunday, he texted me back and he just said, hey, I just want to make sure you know I am completely locked in. Washington's where I want to be. Coach Grubb, Coach Marks were here. They completely sold me. Then Monday morning, he texted me and said, what? And I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, what's going on with Grubb? And I said, oh, well, and that was after the report started coming out and everything. And so I explained that he's down there interviewing and he says, yeah, I'm not locked in anymore. And he said, because that offense is what I want to be a part of. And I said, OK. So I said, how about I call you out? I said, because this will be coming down pretty quick. And he goes, yeah, yeah. He goes, I'm talking to Coach Marks tonight. And so I called him last night. He said that Coach Marks said not to worry about anything. And apparently Coach Grubb got on with him. I don't know, maybe I misunderstood that, but that's what it sounded like. But, this morning, once the reports came out that Grubb was in, I called him back and he said, I'm locked in now. You can put it down, put it in pen, Scott. And so I did.
Can you text him right now while we're on this podcast and ask him if he's still locked in? Can you do that?
No, I'm good. I'm good. So, okay. I mean, he's a really nice kid. For someone who's never met me, for someone who doesn't need to talk to me anymore now that he's made his decision and everything, he's picked up the phone every time I've called. He's responded to all my texts. He's been really great with me. So
old school, huh?
Yeah, I know. It's like he actually answered the phone. I couldn't believe it. But he's got a 5-month-old boy. And the mother of the child, who is also I think that's still his girlfriend, I'm pretty sure, they will be moving up here in June. He said we've already started looking for her. So,
yeah. And he was also talking to South Carolina. Was that true?
Yeah, it was South Carolina and Mississippi State were the two that were really trying to get him to sway him from his commitment to Washington. Mississippi State, the biggest reason why was because he has friends on the team, and those guys were all working on him, and he's still in class with a lot of those guys. So, South Carolina just needed a running back, and they were trying to sell him on being in the SEC. They're like, you're better than the Pac-12. And he said, but that offense is something that'll show people that I can catch the ball and run the ball. And I can that'll help set me up for the NFL. And I said, I couldn't disagree with him. I think running backs nowadays in NFL offenses, with the way they're throwing the ball over 50% of the time. You got to be able to catch the ball and pass protect. And I'll tell you what, last year Washington had arguably the best pass protector ever for the program, as far as, and I'm that's saying a lot. I get it. But Wayne Talapapa was the best I've ever seen. And I've covered this team for almost 20 years, Kim. And that he is the best I've ever seen. As good as Miles Gaskin was, as good as Bishop Sankey was, and Coleman was, and Chris Polk was pretty darn good too. All those guys were great. There is no one better than Wayne Talapapa from what I saw.
Yeah. So did he ever clarify with you the remarks, the thing he put on Twitter that Coach Leach had called him soft. Did he ever address that?
So Washington's interest in him picked up right after Mike Leach left, and Mike Leach passed away, and that's, he just didn't want to talk about it. He never wanted to talk about it. That's why
One thing we can talk about, guys, I think now that we know what Dylan Johnson has said regarding Washington's offense, I think we can go full circle on this debate about whether or not the offense is Kalen DeBoer's or Ryan Grubb's. I think when the kid says, well, if Grubb's not there, I'm not there, I think that'll tell you when it comes to the actual players that are going to be running the system, they think it's Ryan Grubb's offense, and I'm not going to disagree with them.
Also, Scott, tomorrow expecting an announcement from the quarterback from Folsom.
Yeah, I addressed that a little bit earlier. We expect really good news for Washington, Austin Mack. He's a 2024 guy. There's been some rumors that he could be reclassifying. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying the kid is 16 years old during the season, and that's real young to enroll early. He will be 16 when he enrolls at the University of Washington if he reclassifies. So I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying a lot of people are saying that it's not going to happen. So
Washington already has a quarterback for that class committed with
EJ Kamenong.
Yeah. What impact does Austin Mack committing have?
I think if he reclassifies, it has zilch of an impact on Kamenong. But I think if he doesn't reclassify, I think you're looking at Kamenong, maybe at least looking around a little bit. And, a lot of is going to play into this, because what if Ryan Grubb leaves for a head coaching gig before EJ Kamenong signs?
Scott, you're talking about reclassifying. You're talking about him coming in for next year for football.
Yeah. This summer he'd come in. Yep.
What are the chances that could happen?
Oh, I'd say 50-50. Yeah.
Do you remember when you were 16, Scott?
No, no, I don't. Yeah, I do know this. I was never mature enough to go to college.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it already stated earlier that Mac was considered pretty young for his class anyways as a 24 player.
Yeah. Yeah. He turned 16 in the middle of the season, Chris. It was like late October.
So, and if he did reclassify, would he reclassify in time for spring ball?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. He would not. Not set up for that. Apparently he'd have to take some classes and stuff. Like I said, this is just rumors going around the internet. These are not coming from any official sources or anything like that, but he has been asked about it. And I do know that being 16 is not an easy age to just say, yeah, I'm going to go play college football with a bunch of guys who are 5 and 6 years older than me.
Yeah, how big is he, Scott?
Well,
6'6".
Yeah, we've got him listed at 6'6", I think, what, 200 or 210, something like that?
Yeah, I think 210, yeah. Something yeah. like that.
And he's not a statue, but he reminds me a little bit of Tanner McKee with a little bit better wheels. So.
Yeah, interesting.
But it's going to be really interesting. So, obviously, tomorrow, Wednesday, not only is there 2023, the first day of the signing period, but now you've got one of the top quarterbacks on the West Coast making a decision, and not only could he commit to Washington, but I'm assuming they are going to address this idea of whether he reclassifies. And if he does that, I mean, you're right, Scott, that would solve all their problems.
Well, it would, but you know, I we cannot go down this hole because, you know, from everything that I've heard is the family has told him that he should stay. So I just don't know at this point in time.
Yeah, for his age, there's absolutely no reason why he should reclassify on the one hand. But on the other hand, if he spies an opportunity and they've told him that if you do come in and reclassify, we're not going to go into the portal for a 23 player. That would be awfully tempting.
16 is so young.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very really that is. That is the one thing that I would wonder about a lot. But again, you know, Folsom, and I know it's tough to make the Jake Browning comparisons because clearly when you're talking about players, Austin Mack is physically night and day different than Jake Browning. But from a program perspective and the way Troy Taylor set up that program, the former head coach who's now at Stanford, you know, you just get the sense that those guys are awfully mature for their age. Jake Browning came to Washington and started as a true freshman.
He had also started, though, for 3 straight years at Folsom.
Correct.
Austin Mack had just started this year.
Right, right. So, again, there's a lot of differences, but I'm kind of wondering just the way that program has been set up, starting with Taylor and the guys and the way he mentored these quarterbacks. Now, granted, Taylor's been at Sac State before he was at Stanford, so I don't know who took over the development of the quarterbacks at Folsom, but you just get the sense that these guys play, you know, they play a lot older than their age to begin with.
Hey, Scott, with tomorrow being signing day, would you anticipate, and we're expecting Tayshaun Lyons, we're expecting an announcement from Austin Mack, should we be sitting on the edge of our seat for anybody to announce for Washington tomorrow?
Not to my knowledge, nope.
Are they done?
Yes. With 2023s and even the portal at this point.
We'll expect to see a little bit more portal movement after spring ball.
Yes, for sure. I think you'll see that.
Is it the first week in June or first week of July to enroll in school for fall sports?
Last week of June.
Last week of June is when the leap happens.
That's when leap happens. But for fall sports, I don't think you have to be enrolled until, I mean, if a guy showed up in August.
I thought there was a drop dead date in June or July.
I could be wrong on that, but maybe they're not allowed to take part in practices until they're enrolled, but
we'll have to take a look.
Yeah. So. But I mean, classes usually start that last week of September or the first day or two of October. So, you know, I thought they just had to be enrolled for fall quarter, but I could be wrong on that.
All right. Let's wrap it up, guys. Chris Fetter's final thoughts.
Yeah, again, we keep telling people that sometimes the off season is a lot busier than the regular season. And I think the last 48 hours has given an object lesson as to why that's the case. Obviously, Ryan Grubb had tons of reasons to look at Alabama, but he also had tons of reasons to stay at Washington. The only thing I don't want to hear about is I don't want to hear about anything about loyalty or ethics or any of that kind of stuff. This is business. It has nothing to do with ethics. I mean, Kalen DeBoer left Fresno State, who was the first school to give him a head coaching opportunity at the FBS level, and he left them after, like, what, 15 games, 16 games? So let's not go with the loyalty thing or any of that stuff, because Ryan Grubb had so many more reasons to come back. He had Michael Penix Jr. He had Romo Odunze, Jalen McMillan, Troy Faltanu, 11-2, beating Texas, you know, being a top 10 preseason team for 2023, $2 million in the bank. He had all sorts of reasons to come back to Washington. So ultimately, Washington fans should be thrilled that he came back. But this won't end, guys. This is just the beginning. A lot of these coaches are going to try to get copped by other programs because they know Washington not only develops players, but they develop coaches. And so this is something that I think Washington fans are just going to have to get used to.
Scott Eklund, wrap it up.
Hey, Chris, was this the most traction you've ever gotten on a tweet when you tweeted out that Grubb was interviewing?
Maybe, probably. Ironically enough, it was your story. So
yeah, but I wasn't around, so you took care of it. But I mean, it was I was watching it yesterday as you know, the engagement for it was going on. It was crazy. But as far as, you know, Washington is great that they're able to keep Ryan Grubb in the fold. It's great that, you know, they have a selling point that he turned down Alabama, whether that's actually the truth or not, who knows, but that's what they're going to sell it as. I think it's only going to bode well on the recruiting trail for them. The key is going to be, you know, a lot. There's going to be a lot of negative recruiting on Washington when it comes to Grubb sticking around for next year. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. But definitely a good thing for Washington in 2023. The 2023 season might have more hype for it than any season for the University of Washington heading into the season other than the 1991 season. Because I remember that everybody thought Washington was going to go to the national title. And that was the hype going into the season, even with Mark Brunell getting hurt, was that Washington had the team to go to a national title. Well, this team might not have what it takes to go to a national title, but they're going to be a top 10 team heading into the season. They're going to be a conference favorite. They're going to have a Heisman Trophy winner. They've got all their coaches back, at least as of today. They've got all of their coaches back, coming back. It's going to be an incredible year, and they really need to maximize this because it might not get much better than this, at least for a little while.
Hey, Scott, one more question for you, or just want to address one more thing. Just, it wasn't very long ago. Our good friend and good friend for all of the high school programs in the state of Washington, Ryland Spencer, is taking a new role.
Yeah, he's going to be going over to Bothell High School and doing some stuff with them. I think Ryland just got tired of having to go out and run around and hustle, and he was looking for some new challenges. And he loves high school football. He'll always love high school football. He'll be those, like those old guys that you see in the stands, just sit, don't have a rooting interest in either school, just love going and watching high school football on a Friday night in fall. And that's going to be Ryland Spencer, and you'll see him doing that next year, probably out at some games scouting for Bothell. But even once he's done with working for Bothell High School, I think you'll see him out at games because he just loves it so much.
I was going to say, Kim, real quick, I think I can speak for all of us when I say there's been no person in the last decade when it comes to Washington preps and football at any level that has done more for players in general than Ryland. And so that part of it, I think, is going to really, really be missed by so many families that he impacted. But for him to jump up and now take a real big role within one of the biggest programs in the state is fantastic. And I wish him nothing but the best. I think it's a great move.
Yeah. And just a shout out to Ryan. And there are times when I cut my burger, Ryan. It happens. So get over it.
Who's Ryan?
Ryland.
Okay.
Ryland. The burger bastard.
Uh-huh. You're really okay. You just said the unspoken.
Yeah.
Dude, what's the first rule of Burger Club, Kim? Come on, man.
I wouldn't know. No, it's just been a kind of a crazy week. And over the weekend is when we started hearing leaks of the Ryan Grubb thing. We didn't know whether it was going to happen. Sunday, we heard rumors that he was indeed going to fly out, but, you know, got some, you know, conversations with my good friends back at Alabama. Nick Saban doesn't let his assistant coaches talk to the media. He's got things on lockdown down there. You know, you get to talk to the assistant coaches one time at the beginning of the year. And when we talk about coaches having things on lockdown, there are coaches that do that. But Alabama lockdown, Nick Saban's a completely different animal. And we actually had somebody from the Alabama site confirm that Ryan Grubb was in the building yesterday. So yesterday was when we were first able to really confirm of things that we'd heard over the weekend. So now it's been kind of crazy. The Dylan Johnson thing also a little bit crazy, and we'll see what happens tomorrow on signing day. So just a reminder, ends tomorrow at 9 o'clock at night, 60% off your annual subscription to dogman.com. So don't miss out on that. Spring football coming up, which should be real interesting. So for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount+.